Hello there, everyone, and welcome to the Sure IDC podcast, the show about anything and everything. This is Lucas, and let's see what topic we can get into today. We're talking about movies, songs, video games, board games, food, books, personality traits, animals, history, anything and everything you can think of. So sit back, relax, because we're just here to have a good time. Today, we are doing a book review. What? I know, it's been over a year since we've talked about a book, but you know what? Sometimes, that's just how the pages fall, or what? That's just how the cookie crumbles. So, with this topic today, we're talking about a book that is about death, cheating death, but also not really, because you could be randomly gleaned. Trust me, you'll get it as the time goes on in this episode. So today, we are discussing the book Scythe by Neil Schusterman. To have this conversation with me, I have my librarian himself, Jonathan. How are you doing today?
I'm great. How are you?
How many times do you want to correct me?
I mean, just a couple, but it's fine.
Well, you might as well do it now.
Well, actually, I agree with you on the title, but it's Schusterman.
What did I say? Schusterman?
Schusterman.
Schusterman.
Yes, that one. But no, yeah, Scythe.
Schusterman. Did I say it right that time?
Yeah.
Neil Schusterman. There you go. That's the name of the guy who wrote this book.
Good old Scythe.
Good old Scythe. I don't know. Is it Scythe? Who knows, really,
no,
truly?
No, it's Scythe. I'm just teasing.
Hey, I messed up Schusterman, so, you know, just tomato, tomato. Gosh, it's been a while since you've been on the show. How you been?
I've been good. Yeah.
Yeah? What was... I don't even know what the last episode was. What was it?
Customer service.
Customer service. I almost said community service.
I mean, same
you
thing.
You know, that good old community service episode that I didn't even do. That was a good episode. You feel like, you know, that was kind of a therapy session for you. Is that better now?
It really was. And yeah, that was very... what is it? Refreshing? Refreshing is not the word I want, but...
Helpful?
It was helpful.
Who knows? Who knows? This episode might just be a crapshoot, but I'm still going to air it. So you're along for the ride, folks, if you're listening to this one.
We're just going to talk, and we might throw in some Skype here and there.
So. Yeah, we might just throw in some stuff. You know what? I should really just do random episodes, like, with random people. And I'm just all like, yeah, you know what? We don't have a topic for today. We're just going to talk about anything you want to talk about.
I'm surprised you haven't, considering the premise of your podcast.
I know, right?
Is talking, you know, about whatever.
Talking about whatever. But, you know, there's just something about my theater mindset that's just like, you know, it has to be structured. There has to be a topic of conversation.
It's the director in you.
Yes, the director and me. Because, you know, sometimes you can just be like, see what I want to talk about. And then it's like, chirp, 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 chirp. And you're like, all right, this is great. You know, the podcast should turn into that, really. It should just be like me talking with random people that I don't know about random stuff. And then if they're silent the whole time and it's just a very awkward episode, still air it.
Yes. 30 minutes of silence.
30 minutes of silence. Maybe like, hey, are you okay? Like, is everything okay? Yeah. Okay. We're still here, just in case you haven't heard us breathe or anything.
Yeah. How's the weather treating you?
Oh, gosh, I swear, this weather is ridiculous. Don't even get me started on that. It's all like heat wave. But
it's excessive.
You know, to be honest with you, you know, not saying we're down a rabbit hole already, but what the heck not? You know? How people, you know, in movies and, you know, it's the common, and I might have even mentioned it on an episode at some point in time in the 3 years that I've been doing this. you know, that common phrase, you know, everyone knows, oh, when there's nothing to talk about, everyone talks about the weather. You know, I truly didn't know that was an actual thing until I started actually becoming an adult and seeing, you know, seeing people or being out in the world where you see someone and literally the first thing they bring up is the weather. Oh, how about that weather out there?
Yeah, it's a thing.
And it like, is really a thing.
You really notice it when you're working with, like, customers. Because, like, if there is ever a pause, they just immediately start talking about the weather. Like, yep, had this conversation 10 times today.
I mean, but what do you really say about it? Like, oh, yeah, it's a doozy.
It's just an acknowledgement of something that... Because, like... With small talk, you want to try and kind of connect with someone, and you don't know what there is to connect with. How about the weather? Everyone is experiencing the same weather in the area, so...
That is true. That is true. But then, like, you can, like, dive deeper into, like, what type of weather they like, season they like, what's their favorite time of, you know, what's their favorite holiday, you know? You kind of expand on that.
Yeah, but... it's a conversation opener.
Yeah, I mean, but it only happens, like, really when it's either really nice outside or, like, really horrible outside. But I guess at the same time, like, isn't that one or the other? Like, there's never, like, a mediocre day. Like, I feel like it's either someone says, oh, man, it's so nice outside, or there's someone that says, oh, gosh, it's so bad outside. Like, there's no, like, oh, yeah, it's an okay day weather-wise. It's like, eh. Nothing to complain about.
It's because if there's nothing to, like, delve deeper into, there's no point in talking about it.
I guess that's true.
Anyway, that's speaking of talking about things,
the book. So, gotcha! This episode's actually about weather. Gotcha hooked! We should have picked a different book title, you know, something that everyone knows and loves so they can click on it and then here we are just talking about weather.
The Bible.
Book review. The Bible. Listen to this 20-part series.
What's your rating on the Bible, Lucas?
I'd give it no. Oh my gosh. That is hilarious. I like that. All right. So, book. This book, if you're just now catching up with us, Scythe. By Neil Schusterman. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Yes. You recommended this book to me. I read it / listened to it. But how and when did you hear about this book? Kind of tell us a little bit about your history with the book.
It was recommended to me by Emily, who's been on the podcast a lot.
Yes. She's been on in a while, but yes.
We got the books for her husband to read, and I don't think he's read them yet, but she has read them. She told me to read them, and like, that was, I don't know how long ago that was. It could have been last year, it could have been 2 years. Time is weird for me.
Gosh, really?
But
so recently.
Yeah. And okay. they're really good. They're not what I expected at all.
Yeah. I think the book definitely grew on me as the more I listened to it and the more that I'm thinking about it now after the fact of reading it, I'm like, yeah, that actually was a pretty good book. And I'm actually kind of sad that I haven't dived into the second one as fast as I probably should have. But yeah, it was published in 2016. So it's actually been around a while, and it is the first of a 3-book trilogy. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think that's it. But we're only talking about the first book, as I have not read all the others so far. But the second book is called Thunderhead, and the third one is called The Toll. And like I said, I'll probably start reading the second one here soon. So do you think it'll be another year?
Possibly. Depends how long it takes you to read it.
I'm just saying, who has time to read nowadays? No one. I don't even have time to listen to an audiobook, let alone read an audiobook. Or read a book. You can't read an audiobook.
It just depends on the type of person you are. I'm in my 40s for the year. My sister is probably near 90 books this year. So,
Like, how, but like, how? Like, I just want to know how. Like, you just go home straight from work and sit down and read something?
So I listen to audiobooks in the car. I read at home. I read on my phone at work when we're slow. Don't tell my boss. Just kidding. She knows. So it's just, that's what I love to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, I guess if you love it, you know, people like watching movies, so they watch movies. People like reading, they read. People like playing games, they play games. So, have we done an episode talking about the difference between audiobook and reading a book? Or have we just talked about it a little bit with book episodes?
I think we've done that. I don't remember doing a...
I don't think we've done a full-blown episode. I mean, might be worth looking into, but I mean, there's just something about an audiobook, and I for sure can't sit down and read something. I mean, maybe if I read like right before bed, but then I also fall asleep and the book's like on my chest or I'm tearing it up because I roll around forever. So it's like, I really do need to get better about it, but I am a horrible reader. And I'm not a horrible reader, but like I'm a horrible reader. I could read, trust me, I could read. but audiobooks, yeah, I try my best to get into them, but it just takes me forever. And I'm sorry, Jonathan. I feel like I let you down every time.
You should be. I'm disappointed. No, yeah. It's fine. Audiobooks for me are just like I can get distracted more easily, so
yeah,
it has to be something like that I can kind of pay half attention to and still enjoy the book. Yeah. So I don't listen to like books that I want to actually read. I just choose like stuff that is kind of easy listening.
Yeah. Yeah.
That if I don't care too much that I miss some stuff.
Yeah. That is something. Yeah. Cause I've definitely had to go back and re-listen to something. Cause I'm like, oh, I was spaced out there for about 5 minutes.
Right.
So, yeah. Anyway, here's your spoiler alert. If you, if you have not read it and you don't want it to be spoiled for you, or you know what, you just don't care, you know, about spoilers or anything, this is that moment when you either, you know, wait until you've read it to listen to the rest of the podcast, or you don't care and you listen to it. I mean, you have had about 12 minutes of weather talk and stuff like that. So, I mean, by all means, listen to that. So talking about the book, like I said, spoiler alert, if you have not read it and you care, I would definitely not, because we're gonna dive deep into the book. Maybe not too deep, but pretty deep into the book. So, just kind of a basic overview. What is this book about? What do you think?
So it's like a futuristic society, obviously, because it's society in the future.
Futuristic in the sense that people can't die. I mean, like medical advancements have been so, you know, astronomical that people can't die. And not in the sense of like, you know, futuristic city. Like, I didn't get that feel. Did you get that feel?
Oh, yeah, no. Like, the world, like, describing-wise, looks similar to what it is now. But technology has advanced where they have, like, nanites in the body that can heal better, which has essentially made society immortal. And because no one is dying from natural causes, and like even when people get into like accidents and they die that way, they have ways to bring people back to life. So that has essentially created a population control issue. And to solve that issue, there's a group of people called Scythes, and the Scythedom are charged with gleaning people, which is what you said earlier. And when they glean people, that's how they're supposed to do it, randomly or in a way that they find just. And that group of people is kind of above the law of the world.
Which is an interesting aspect, or, you know, moral conversation to have. Like, why take away natural selection or randomness to just incorporate randomness? Like, it's, you know what I mean?
Right. Well,
like, oh, someone dies in an accident, someone, you know, dies of natural causes, someone dies of whatever. Nope. We just bring them back to life or whatever, and then we kill someone else randomly.
Right. And that moral question is part of the main plot of the book. Like, mm-hmm. that becomes a overarching thing. But they also try to explain away in the book how people were still living longer than they normally would in our society now, kind of thing. Yeah.
I just want to let you know, I want to point out that supposedly in the books, the year is 2042.
That's only like 20 years away.
Yeah, technically 19.
It's crazy.
And I don't think we mentioned it, but you kind of did a little bit. But not only do they just not die, but they're able to reset their physical age, right?
Yeah, it's called turning or something.
Yeah, it's called turning.
That's what they call it.
Yeah, so 2042 in the near distant future.
Well, that makes sense, because the government of that time is called, they call it the Thunderhead, which is the title of book two. But that is like basically what we have now, the cloud, where everything is stored in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
That becomes an artificial intelligence that is,
yeah.
But the Thunderhead almost becomes like a god, in the sense that he can see everything, he knows everything pretty much. The only area that he is not allowed to see or have any part in is the Scythedom.
He can't, oh my gosh, words are hard. He can't intervene with any killings or anything, even though he does. Right? Doesn't he at the end of this book? Something about that?
Well,
maybe not. Or are there no, guards to the Thunderhead?
He literally
kind of jumping.
He cannot do anything.
Yeah.
He can't see them. He can't intervene. I don't want to say too much, because it gets bigger in like the second and third book, but like,
yeah, don't say too much. Don't spoil those.
He really can't do anything concerning the scythes. So,
okay. Because in the first one, if I remember correctly, like, well, I guess we'll get to it when we get to it. So, because I don't want to jump to the very end. Maybe not the very end, but
right. I know what you're talking about, I think.
So. Yeah, yeah. So, the characters of the book. So, you have, I guess the two main characters is, oh gosh, I'm going to butcher it.
Didn't you listen to the audiobook?
I know, right?
How did they say it?
I think it's like
Rowan and Citra.
Oh yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. I was gonna say Rowan. Oh, I guess that's right. Oh my gosh, jeez Louise.
Rowan is right.
This is a podcast of
it's a pronunciation podcast. Where I just
jeez Louise. So Rowan and Citra. They're characters in the book. They're like young, aren't they?
Yeah, they're like in high school.
Yeah, and so pretty much, and you might explain it better than me, but they get apprenticeshipped into the Scythedom.
Mm-hmm. Scythes can take an apprentice, and usually it's only one. So when both Citra and Rowan have encounters with the Scythe, Scythe Faraday, he takes both of them to apprentice, which is very unusual and stirred up a lot of trouble.
Yes, yes. And the one that takes them under apprenticeship is Scythe Faraday, right?
Yes.
Yes. And then, so pretty much their job is to teach them how to fight, how to glean. There's different ways of doing it. Pretty much how to kill people.
Yeah, pretty much. They're learning to be efficient. And that's something that Scythe Faraday is trying to teach them. Is like, it's because there are a lot of other scythes that would be a little more violent and aggressive, but he's trying to get them to understand it's just like their job. They shouldn't take pleasure in it, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's their job. They shouldn't actually enjoy it, which is kind of, you know, there's just like in anything, there are different people in the Scythedom that, you know, think that they're more powerful than others, think that they're, you know, a god in a sense, stuff like that. So, yeah, he kind of teaches them that it's your job. You don't, you know, need to enjoy it or, you know, and you need to do it mercifully, whatever, not, you know, torturing people or in an unhumane way, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much the majority of the book is them training and, you know, going to the trials and trying to pass the tests and everything. Is there anything at the beginning of the book before they switch off to different apprenticeships? Trying to remember.
The most that's happening is that they're falling for each other, Citra and Rowan, mm-hmm. which is not allowed. Scythes can't have...
But are they really falling for each other towards the beginning?
Yeah.
I mean... yeah. I mean, maybe a little bit, but I mean, they're definitely like not... That's not the vibe.
You're not the vibe. They're falling for each other. And
are they?
Because, okay, so you just mentioned they switch off to different scythes. Because, yes. Okay, so they get told at the first test, which Rowan fails on purpose because Citra failed hers and love. And so the... council is like, okay, you can have both apprentices, but whoever turns into a scythe has to glean the other at the end. And so to stop that from happening and to kind of release them from their apprenticeship, Scythe Faraday self-gleans, which is allowed because otherwise scythes themselves don't die unless they take their own life.
Yeah, Faraday's like 200 and something years old, 50 or something like that.
Yeah, very, very old. And so, wait.
Wait, what?
Nothing. So, I got distracted by the age thing.
well, was I wrong?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But what was I talking about? So, one of them has to glean the other, so he
kills himself.
Kills himself so that they kind of get released from their apprenticeship. And the night he does that, they kiss. Therefore, they're falling for each other.
I don't remember this.
Yes.
If I don't remember it, it didn't happen.
Okay.
So, pretty much, it doesn't end their apprenticeship. It just makes things 1,000 times worse.
So much worse.
He should have just let them glean each other or glean one or the other.
I mean, I don't even know what happens in the rest of the books, but I can only imagine how it goes from here.
So bad.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks, Faraday. No, just kidding. He's really nice. I really like the character actually a lot. I was kind of really sad that he gleaned himself.
It's really all his fault.
Yeah, it really is all of his fault. If he didn't just glean himself, if he just stuck with it. Anyway, so pretty much that happens, and they get switched off to different sites. One, Citra goes to Marie Curie, and Rowan goes to Goddard, right? That was his name? Mm-hmm. Robert Goddard. So, of course, Madame Curie's, like, this famous scythe, like, it says the Grand Dame of Death. So, like, she's, like, hardcore parkour. But she's really nice. I like the character, too. Like, she's nice.
Oh, I love her character.
Yeah. I'm guessing she just gets better and better in the next books. And then, like I said, Rowan goes to Goddard, who is literally the bottom of the barrel, scum of the earth, just stupid man. I mean, I think it's accurate.
It is.
He's pretty much, he's narcissistic. He thinks gleaning is a game. He considers himself a god. He, you know, stuff like that. I'm pretty sure he's even threatened, like, the mayor, one of the leads of the scythedom, right?
Uh-huh.
So, pretty much, he teaches Rowan to be ruthless and not care about anything except, you know, killing and yada, yada, yada. While pretty much Citra the whole time is, like, still learning from Madame Curie, but, like, worrying about Rowan and trying to figure out if Faraday really killed himself or not.
Yeah, she is, that's what she is trying to do, kind of, is discover, like, if that really happened, the way people say it did. But she can't find any evidence because the Thunderhead is not allowed to record scythe activity. And because he was a scythe, like, what really happened could not be seen.
Yeah. Unfortunately. So, I'm trying to think when... So, they split. They kind of do some more training, but more intense. Is there anything that happens before the next big reveal? I can't really remember. I mean, other than, like, Rowan, like, gleaning a bunch of people, like, mass gleaning.
So, yeah, it's really Goddard and his, like, group of scythes that follow him around do mm-hmm. mass gleanings, which, like, one is a whole airplane, one's a mall food court. Those scenes are, oof, they were a lot.
Yeah.
Not, like, graphic, but just, like, the idea of it is awful.
Yeah.
And so Goddard, in training him, also, like, turns off his, like, pain nanites so that... Because, like, the nanites can reduce pain. And he turns mm-hmm. those off. And they, like, beat him. And they pretty much turn him into this killing machine.
Yeah.
It's really awful.
Yeah, because he's really a good guy.
Right. Like, he never wanted to be a scythe.
Yeah, he's just misunderstood. Oh, yeah, I guess we should have mentioned that. They don't want to be scythe. They're just picked randomly, right?
Yeah. They were not thrilled with the idea.
Yeah. Yeah, they didn't want to leave their... Well, I guess they also say that if you are a scythe, isn't your family
they're saved from you? Yeah.
Yeah.
They have immunity.
So, pretty much, killing machine. And then Citra becomes kind of, like, suspicious of Faraday, you know, maybe not gleaning himself. Maybe she thinks that he was maybe murdered. And so she kind of investigates. And don't they, like, try to stop her?
Mm-hmm.
Even though, technically... you would think that they did have something to do with it, with killing him and everything, with how the book goes, but really, why would they try to stop her?
I'm trying to remember. Also, her last name is Terra Nova. Isn't that just awesome?
Yeah. Citra Terra Nova. Yeah. Because, so, I'll just say it. So, Faraday did not glean himself. He just ran away to some... Where did he run away to?
Oh, no, I remember. So, Faraday... So, all sites keep a journal for their activity.
Oh, that's right.
It's kind of like part of their mandate. They have to do this. And in Scythe Faraday's journal, he has an entry that says he fears his apprentice is going to kill him.
Mm-hmm.
And so with him ending up dead, they turn on Citra. They accuse her of having killed him.
Yeah.
And they're at this like really tall building when they're having this discussion. And she just yeets herself right off the building.
That's right.
And is rendered what they call deadish. Because it's not dead. It's deadish. Because the revival centers can bring them back.
And that's when the revival people come in. And the Scythedom is all like, no, she's a traitor. We need to arrest her and charge her. And da da da. And they're like, no, you don't. She's dead-ish.
Right.
And then they take her to, you know, a place where the Scythedom can't get to her, right?
Yes, and I think this is the part you were trying to get to earlier, where this is when the Thunderhead speaks to Citra.
Yes.
Once she's rendered herself deadish. He can, like, there's, like...
Because she's not a Scythe anymore.
Yeah, what's it called?
She's...
A whole... Like... You know, like in a contract... There's like a, what's that word?
I have no idea what you're talking about. A contract.
You can like work around it.
There's a.
I can't think of that word.
Loophole.
Loophole. That's. That's the kind of hole I was talking about.
That's that kind of loophole.
Yeah. So he gets through the loophole. Of him not being able to talk to anyone with the Scythedom because she's deadish. Yeah. And the Thunderhead gives Citra a name. I don't remember the name. It's super basic. It's like George or something.
George. Yeah.
Or Gerald. I think it's Gerald. And so when she wakes up, she talks a bit to Scythe Kiri, who is there with her, and Scythe Kiri tells her that she was Scythe Faraday's apprentice, and she was the one he was talking about in his journal entry, but she obviously didn't kill him, and they were actually lovers after the apprenticeship ended, which is illegal in Scythedom. And so Citra goes to find the guy the Thunderhead told her about, Gerald. I'm calling him Gerald till I find his name. It is Gerald. Gerald Vandergans.
Gerald Vandergans.
It's not a basic name. That's weird. So she finds him, and it's Scythe Faraday, because when you become a Scythe, you choose a new name, like someone from history.
That's right. And
so Scythe Faraday's real name is Gerald Vandergans.
Vandergans.
And so that's like third, like where the third part of the book begins.
Mm-hmm.
Because he resumes her training. I feel like that's the last. Oh, and then on Rowan's side of things, he goes crazy.
Yeah. So while all this is happening, isn't there? So I guess we also should mention that if say you glean like a family member or something, or say you glean somebody, their family, don't they get like immune to gleaning or something like that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if.
And then they have to like kiss the ring, or so, because it all comes from the ring, right? You can glean from the ring or what? No, gleaning gives them immunity.
Yeah, the ring, if the family members of the gleaned person like kiss the ring, their DNA goes into the system and they're offered a year's worth of immunity from that day.
Gotcha. Yeah. Cause there was one time where like there was a mass gleaning and then Goddard gave Rowan his ring and had him like give people immunity, which was kind of forbidden because only Scythes were allowed to do that.
Yeah.
So, but that was before. I think that was like way before. Wasn't that way before, or was that what were? Did that happen?
I think that's the simultaneous thing that's going on. While
okay, and then they
Faraday,
and then they like pretty much Rowan like betrays all of them.
Yeah, they go to this. So they're like religious people. There's a religious faction called Tonist. I feel like they're not important in book one to get into their thing, mainly because I don't remember their...
later on.
Yeah. And so they go to this, what's it, commune?
Yeah.
Where the Tonists live. And Goddard and his posse start killing everybody. And, one of Goddard's Scythe friends, like loses it and self gleans because he can't take the guilt anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that Scythe was Rowan's, like, was kind of getting closer to Rowan.
Yeah, Rowan's friend.
Yeah. And so I think then Rowan just kills the other three and burns them. Because if you burn them, they're not, they can't come back.
What?
Yeah, when you're rendered deadish, no. When you, the body is burned, then the nanites can't bring the body back.
Oh, so they actually have to physically take your body to a reviving center.
You're not supposed to be able to be revived if you're burned.
Oh, dang.
Which is a huge thing. Because after this situation... the Scythe Council demands that gleaning by fire is forbidden.
Yeah. I must have missed that because I don't remember that at all. I mean, I don't remember that fire, you couldn't come back from that.
Yeah, that is an issue that I think becomes more important in book two.
Gotcha. But I remember that they were trying to ban it and everything, but... Why would they not have that ban to begin with?
I don't know. One of
because no one's crazy enough to do it.
One of Goddard's followers, his scythe tool is a blowtorch.
Yeah, like, what the heck?
Like a flamethrower. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, a blowtorch.
Shut up. Just going around blowing people. Oh my word. So yeah, he burns the body so that they cannot come back.
Okay. And then Goddard's still alive, right? Or is he one of the ones that was burned?
He's one of the ones that are burned.
Okay, so he killed Goddard and all of his, pretty much everyone, and burned him.
Yep. Everyone in that.
It was justifiable. I mean, Rowan was kind of, you know, out of his mind, and I mean, he kind of was turned into this by them, but like, it's pretty crazy.
And at the same time, it's really satisfying because at this point, you like hate that group of people.
Yeah. Yeah. So then does Rowan get punished for it? Because he did it, but he says that he didn't do it. He said that the fire just lost control and they were lost in the fire, right?
Yeah, and there's no proof because the Thunderhead and the Psychom can't mix.
Yeah. Yeah. And so he does get blamed for it, even though they know that he did it, but everyone hates him anyway. Or everyone hates, not Rowan, everyone hated Goddard and his posse anyway. Well, not everyone, but, you know. Pretty much towards, you know, that's still in place. They have to glean one another. Whoever becomes a scythe has to glean the other one. Mm-hmm. You want to talk about the end of the book now?
So,
because I think we're at that point, right?
Yeah. I mean, pretty much after all that happens, the final test, for the apprentices is to go into a room and, one of their family members is there. And they have to glean them.
Yeah.
And.
But they come back to life.
They do, because it's not an official gleaning. But the apprentices don't really know that. And so Citra goes in and it's her little brother.
Horrible scene. Oh, that was a rough.
Yeah.
That was a rough one.
And she does it. And.
Promises him ice cream. It's okay, guys. That is a rough scene for sure.
And so I don't remember what happens with Rowan, but somehow Citra becomes the scythe. She gets the ring.
Well, he completes it. Doesn't he, like, isn't like his mother or something?
Right. I think so.
So he completes it. So they both go to do it. But I think, I mean, you're right. She becomes the scythe.
Yeah. I don't remember how, though. But
what's her scythe name?
She chooses Anastasia Romanov.
Grandma, it's me.
Anastasia. Yes.
Anyway.
That Anastasia.
Trust me, you'd get it if you knew it. Yeah. So she has to glean him.
She does. And she does this weird, tricky maneuver where she goes to glean him. But she punches him in the face, and the ring, with the one that has the ring on it, and when she punches him, the DNA gets on the ring, and he's granted a year's worth of immunity.
Because he bleeds.
And they're like, oh, we can't glean him. And she's like, oops, my bad.
Like, why'd you do that?
Because they love each other.
Oh, my gosh.
And so basically...
And then he runs away, right?
Yeah, he gets in a car, and guess who's Faraday's driving the car? Gerald Vandergast.
Gerald Vandergast, a.k.a. Faraday.
Yeah, and he's like, and Rowan doesn't know he's alive, so only Citra and Scythe Kiri know. Everyone else still thinks he's dead, so Rowan's mind is blown.
And that's the end, right?
Yeah, and then there's like a little epilogue where...
I don't think I read that.
Well, no, you listened to it. you were probably distracted.
Probably.
Where Citra hears about this scythe called Scythe Lucifer.
Oh, that's right.
Who's going around and killing other scythes with fire. Unworthy.
Yeah.
With fire so they can't come back.
Yeah, yeah. Like the bad scythes.
Yeah. And that's the end of the book.
Yeah. Well, there you have it.
And it's just it, so good.
It is a really good book. It is very good. I can only imagine what's to come from it, and how dark it gets. I mean, it gets pretty dark in the first one, but I mean, but like not dark in like. The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue dark, but like this book is like about killing people. I mean, yes, they say gleaning. I don't think they do. They ever use the word kill?
I mean, they
might to explain it, but
I think they use it in terms where people aren't gleaned because, like,
gotcha.
They're not allowed to kill, but they can glean.
Yeah.
So I think that's the only time they ever use that term.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's got like the whole series is just one of those series that the twists you don't really see coming. Yeah. It's exciting, and it's just really good.
Yeah, it is really good. I agree. It's a good book. What is your rating for the book?
I would say 9.
9?
Yeah.
Oh, is it the better book of the 3?
Ooh.
I mean, you can't give it a 9 and then have it. I mean, there's no 11.
I don't know that I have a favorite. Like, the whole series to me, if I had a favorite, it would probably be the second one.
Okay. So you're giving it a 9.
For the ending. Because, like I told you, I couldn't breathe at the ending of the second one.
Yeah.
So.
That must be pretty crazy. I'm giving this one a 7. The silence. The silence speaks.
I mean.
Do you like my rating?
I mean. It's fine. It's better than your rating for Cats. So, yeah, it's good.
I don't even know what my rating for Cats was.
It was like a 3.
Oh, a 3? Hey, it went up one. yeah. I mean, I give this one a 7 because it was a good listen. I enjoyed the book. Great characters, great plot, great story, great twists and turns. You know, there was a lot of, oh my gosh, moments because of just how crazy it was getting with everything going on. Like I said, there were some scenes that were like, dang, this is rough. Like this is kind of tough. So I give it a 7 because that's good. And you can go up from here.
That's true. And you'll need those for the rest of the books.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm expecting high expectations for the book. So for the second one and the third one. So.
There's the Thunderhead, then the Toll, and then recently he released a collection of short stories called Gleanings. Mm. And it's really good. It's one of the best like side books I've ever seen. So
really? I will have to check that out as well. I will check when I read the third one, I will read that one after that, and then we'll put it all in the same episode.
Yeah.
So. All right. Well, any last thoughts on anything?
Man, it's so hot.
Yeah, that weather.
That
weather, though. What are you going to do?
No. Scythe by Neil Shusterman. It's an award-winning book. You should read it.
I think it is an award-winning book, actually. Like, he's not lying.
Do I ever lie?
No.
Let's see.
New York Times bestselling.
Michael Prince Award for Excellence in Young Adult Literature.
Did he, has he written anything else? I mean, obviously, but like, that you know of?
He's written a lot of stuff.
I
have another one of his books called Dry. I just haven't read it yet. It's a standalone. Oh my gosh. The front of this book has so many books that I cannot read them all.
The front of this book has so many books.
Because you know how, like, books will have also by this author.
Oh, yeah.
There's, like, 7 different series and then a list of standalone. So he's written a lot.
Okay. He's a popular young adult author. Young adult? Is that right?
Yeah, young adult. Yeah,
I'd say that. So this is definitely a good book. I highly recommend it. Hopefully you've read it or audiobooked it. Let us know what you think of the book, either in the comments on YouTube or Facebook or wherever you want to let us know what you think about this book. So I'm excited to continue and read the next one in the series. So thanks for being on the show, Jonathan. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And thank you for listening, you listeners out there. Shows come out every 2 weeks on Thursday, and you can follow me on Facebook and YouTube. Let us know what you think of this book series, but no spoilers. So thanks for listening. Stay safe out there, and remember,